Good morning. Today is Monday, the 19th of July. Joining us this morning, two escapees from a local financial institution. You guys want to sign in, or do we want to go inmate escapee number one and inmate escapee number two?
Help, help.
Right.
Well, my name's Michael McCoy. I'm the risk manager at Redwood Capital Bank.
Okay, that one's over. Inmate number two.
This is Dave Tierney with Redwood Capital Bank. It's a pleasure to be here again, Brian.
Sure. Oh, all righty, guys. You ready for your question here?
Sure.
You bet.
Ever wonder why a book of maps is called an atlas?
Oh, the Greek god Atlas held the world on his shoulders.
Yeah. You got...
Is that close?
Pretty close. Dave, a shot?
I think I was going to say the same thing.
All right. You guys are kind of like connected here, aren't you?
Yeah.
Because the earliest books of the map had a picture of Atlas holding the world. So very close on the back, on the cover. So, yeah.
Yeah. Good job, Michael.
Thanks. I had that mapped out.
Yeah. I'm just giving you the pause there for proper groans throughout the area. Yeah. Guys, we've talked in the past about different challenges that are out there on the show when you guys have been with us also about technology, where it's going, definitions, security, safety, yada, 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 yada. Obviously, it's not gotten any better or made less onerous or less, can I say, paperwork intensive. How are the regulators in this environment of challenge? Have they stepped their game up? Is it easier? Is it more logical? Is it tougher? How is it on the backside of what we don't see at the bank?
You know, the regulators have changed their approaches. It used to be a lot more intensive in terms of what they call transaction testing, where they're going in and looking at how you're, you know, making specific calculations or filling out all your paperwork. But now they take what they call a more risk-based approach, and they do a more of a surface look at what's going on in the bank. And if they see anything that seems out of place or concern-causing, then they'll look more deeply at it.
Kind of a logical approach.
Yeah.
I mean, rather than having everybody jump through all the hoops all the time, and if there's a track record of having it successful, let's say last year, why would they want to go back into last year's records when they come through, because they're supposed to look at 3 years?
Yeah, it is very reasonable. And they've made a concerted effort over the years to be more of support and helping the banks. I mean, in spite of the fact that they need to come in and be sure that we're running safe and sound institutions, you know, they want to give us insight and perspective that they've learned and gleaned from all the banks that they look at. And, you know, they've done a really good job at that.
More of a partnering rather than an overlord.
Absolutely. And they've been great to work with.
Dave, what about at your end of the scheme? Do they check the systems out just to make sure that everything is doing the way it's supposed to and takes them to the place that they're supposed to go and all the notifications are there and all that kind of stuff?
Yep, they sure do. A lot of times what they do there with technology is, you know, they look at your policies. And then they look at your practices and just kind of make sure that, you know, those two things are aligned. So, you know, if you say you're going to be checking backups every day or something like that, then, you know, they want to see evidence that you're actually doing that. So, but like Michael said, I mean, it's, you know, it's really more of a partnership for us anyway. I mean, that's the kind of the relationship we have. And that, some of that depends on the regulator, too. But it's, they pretty much just make sure you're dotting your I's and crossing your T's. And
now, there's the thing called FDIC.
Yeah.
Okay. That's not the federal government directly. Are they also looking for certain things? Do they come from a different angle, you know, to be sure that the insurance is there? Or do they kind of look at what the federal banking guys go and, well, if they got their blessing, then by golly, we're okay and move on?
The FDIC, they follow the same exam guidelines as like the OCC or the FRB. So when they come in to look at us for safety and soundness examinations, they're looking at, you know, our loan portfolio, the quality of loan portfolio, how we're managing the balance sheet.
All the same stuff.
Exactly the same stuff. I mean, to us, they're the feds. So that's really, there's the sort of standard exam procedures that all the regulatory agencies.
So when they come through the door, you hit them with the books that the last guys left?
Yeah. Pretty much.
Is there any state regulatory entity of concern?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, there's the Department of Financial Protection. I suddenly forgot. They just changed their name. It used to be the Department of Business Oversight. And now all I can think of is the DFPI, Department of Financial Protection and Innovation, which, yeah, they're, I'll just let that sit.
So, the innovation thing, yeah.
But yeah, so there's a state regulatory agency. They also come in. They follow the same guidelines. So they alternate. They take turns. Every 18 months, the FDIC will come and examine us, and then every on the off time, the DFPI will come in and do an exam.
Do they have a working relationship between the two of them?
Yeah, they do. They coordinate and communicate on the exams.
I would imagine, Dave, when they come to town, it's a little exciting. might be a word to use.
That's a word.
That's distracting a word. Might be another one, yeah. But also confirming that things are going okay.
Usually that's how it works out, yeah. It's not always, you know, it is distracting at times. You know, this last one we had recently, just last month or so, was all remote, you know, because of the COVID protocols. So everything was done remotely, off-site, which presents its own challenges. But on the same, on the other hand, it's kind of nice because, you know, they don't necessarily just kind of show up at your door wanting to ask you questions for the 30 minutes. You know, they'll schedule meetings with you. So you can plan your time around that a little better.
Do you ever get in the spot where you are supposed to get them the information or scan it and you forget where you are in the process?
No, we have a really good risk and compliance manager, Michael, who kind of keeps us all on track with
that. All right, fair enough. KINS, News and Information Time, it's 8:19.
Listen to 980 AM for the best music, ABBA, Neil Diamond, Barbra Streisand, Billy Joel, and The Fifth Dimension. The all-time best are heard every day, all day long on 980 AM. We are easy radio, easy on your ears and easy on your mind. This is memory-making music and you'll love the memories you create. Tune in and hear the best music, easy radio, 980 AM.
Good morning, KINS, News and Information Times, 8:24. We're back talking shop this morning with Michael McCoy and Dave Tierney from Redwood Capital Bank. Guys, the concept of the regulatory, the safety, all that kind of stuff, either people really, 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 really enjoy electronic or banking, you know, never having to come into the bank and they can scan this and do that and monitor this and pay it that way, or I guess we're called dinosaurs now. You like to see people face to face, touch people, mm-hmm. Giggle a little bit, write these things called checks every once in a while just to stay in the routine of it. You know, kind of right up there with addressing envelopes and these stamp things.
What's a check?
Two different user groups.
Yep.
Two different levels of demand, but the regulatory standards are the same for both. So how do you deal with that dichotomy?
Well, I'm going to let Michael talk about the regulatory part of it. But
good, I'm glad you're not saying shoot the dinosaurs. I like that.
Yeah. Well, actually, what I was just going to say, the opposite.
There's a meteorite coming.
Yeah, just the opposite. I think what you're finding with a lot of banks, particularly community banks out there and technology just in general, is, you know, people still want that personal touch. That, believe it or not, that is still out there. People still write checks. That's true. But even using a mobile app, right? So there's banks out there that are, you know, looking at and implementing technologies where, you know, you might use a mobile app to do all your banking, but if you have a question, you want to get a person. You want to have a face-to-face conversation. Mm-hmm. So some places will have like, you know, like a chat opportunity within the mobile, or in some cases that's a video chat, so you actually get that face-to-face. So there's this kind of blending of technology while still keeping that kind of personal touch. You know, on the regulatory side, those are things that, I mean, I think as long as you're, you know, all your controls are in place for making sure that's all done in a very secure manner, then I think the regulators really, that's really what they're looking for. I don't know if you would have anything else to add.
No, I think that's right. That in some ways, from a regulatory perspective, it's like a transaction's a transaction, whether it's being processed on a check or over your phone. Obviously, there's different controls that you need if you're processing, you know, transferring money through your phone. But is it happening in a way that isn't fraudulent or that people can't access? So if you're writing a check, you still have some of those concerns. They're a little bit different in terms of how it's processed.
Security is still security.
Security is security. And so as long as it's being done well and appropriately to minimize the chance of fraud, you know who your customers are, that kind of thing, then they're good with it. And they're catching up. I think the regulatory environment is becoming more and more technologically savvy, but it's slow. I mean, banking in general is like one of the bedrock cornerstones of the economy, right? So it's inherently slow because it's cautious. We don't want to screw up people's money. We don't want to screw up that part of the economy, but it's becoming... it is starting to speed up. You know, same day ACH is happening, the person-to-person transfers through the phone. So it is moving more quickly.
But I'm just going to jump in. I would just add to that is that, you know, the regulators also recognize that the future banking may not look like what it looks like today. So they actually are pretty cooperative in terms of working with banks to, you know, stay relevant and stay, you know, they want banks to remain open. So I think they're good about working with banks on those technologies to make sure that, you know, the banks are staying relevant, especially, like I said, community banks.
Are they providing templates or suggestions? I mean, how far does that partnering go?
They'll give best practices usually. I mean, sometimes it depends on the rule. Some of the regulations, it's like, here's the template for how disclosure or how... But they'll issue lots of guidance that'll have bullet points of these are the things that you need to be attentive to and need to take care of. And then it's up to the bank to determine how they'll actually implement those. So it leaves room for, you know, individual banks based on their operating environment to decide what they need to do. So small bank like us in Humboldt County will have different risks and concerns than, you know, obviously a large regional bank or national bank.
What area has the largest amount of risk potential? The handwritten dinosaur or the electronic new groovy cutting edge?
I'm going to go with the new groovy cutting edge.
Yeah, and then technology is definitely, when you talk about that risk-based approach, technology is right up there towards the top of the list.
Because it's international? I mean, you know, if somebody comes in and tries to forge a check of mine, they're going to do it here. You know, they're not going to go swoop into Humboldt County and just randomly find. But I think the other one, and some of the stuff that we've heard of in the last, well, what, 6 months, some of the international stuff, that I would think that that's looking for weaknesses.
I think some of it, I feel like now things are caught more quickly with checks, actually. If there's a forgery, if there's fraud happening, you know, check processing is sort of almost same day now. There isn't a lag time like there used to be. And it seems like check issues come up more quickly, whereas with technology, somebody can get another person's information, falsely create an account, start transferring money very quickly, and you don't realize it.
By lunch, you don't have... You're out in the wind and somebody else is down the road.
You realize it because your money's gone.
KINS, News and Information Time. It's 8:30.
Hey, community. Times are rough right now. Retail shops may be closing, but the bulk flower market is still open and moving fast. We here at Bayer can help turn your flower harvest into cash today. Call Bayer Extraction House at 707-693-2222. That's 707-693-2222. Don't miss out. It is time to sell. Bayer Extraction House, your flower selling powerhouse.
Good morning, KINS, News and Information Time. It's 8:35. We're back talking shop this morning with Michael McCoy and Dave Tierney from Redwood Capital Bank about security and risk, I guess, risk reduction. What are some of the things? I know you guys have done it over and over, and I'm sure you've done workshops and seminars, but what are some of the stupid things that we do?
Who's
not,
we?
Not business, not business, individuals. What are some of the things that you just kind of scratch your head and either you laugh or you cry and you just wonder what happened here?
Yeah, I guess, I don't know, some of the fraud things, some of the things that people get scared into doing. Some of it's sad because the fraudsters really play on emotion. But, you know, calling up saying, hey, I'm with the sheriff's department. The IRS has issued a warrant because you haven't paid your taxes. And if you go out and buy a bunch of gift cards and scratch off the numbers and read them to us, that'll count as payment. And then people do that. And it's hard to imagine, like, somebody standing in line with $500 worth of gift cards that thinking, does the IRS really do this? Does the IRS really take this? So things like that.
I would think in the cooling down period.
Yeah, for sure.
You have a little bit of a question. You know, I mean, if that scenario played out, wouldn't you call the sheriff's department? Logically, call the sheriff's department, call your CPA or bookkeeper, right, and double check and make sure everything's okay. But in the heat of the moment.
Yeah, the fear is real, and it takes a powerful grip.
I would say the fear is a huge part of it. And also, in a lot of cases, it's, you know, confusion. Yeah. You might have an elder abuse situation where someone just doesn't really understand exactly what's going on, and I guess that kind of ties into the fear, but it's kind of a different animal where you know, it's really just kind of a confusing situation. We've had I've heard of situations where people just, you know, kind of give their login information away just because they're convinced that they need to do it in order to fix a problem with their computer or what have you. So it kind of goes hand in hand, the fear and the confusion.
You mentioned elder abuse and fiduciary responsibilities and things of that nature. Is there, I know some of the credit card guys do this, but if there's a break in the routine, let's say somebody's using a bank-issued card and it's ding, 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 a couple $100 per transaction, suddenly it's a couple, $20,000. Does that raise any bells? Is anybody paying attention? I'm thinking of somebody who steals the credit card or the wallet, and now they're going on a spending spree, and all of a sudden it's just going stupid crazy.
Yeah.
Are there checks and balances on those that people can put into place?
Yeah, we get, for that kind of a situation with, like, the debit card, you know, we get notices and we'll call the customer, hey, we noticed this unusual transaction. Is it really yours? Especially if it's a big spike like that. If it's not so big, it may not get noticed. It may seem normal.
Oh, all those prepaid credit cards.
Yeah.
And some of the issuing banks too have, you know, fraud controls and monitoring in place where, you know, you've probably had this happen, Brian, where you receive a phone call from a credit card processor saying, "Hey, we've noticed. Call us back. We need to validate some transactions on your account." And so, so there are checks and balances, people watching those transactions as well, and they'll call and ask you to verify those things. So it's another kind of a level of heads up there.
Yeah, I wish the pieces of gear here weren't so expensive that they didn't get somebody's attention. Mm-hmm. And, you know, but something like that. I mean, there's also the normal routine. If you don't get those from your financial institution, do most of them have something like that in place so that you could set up a program like that if it isn't currently there?
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, furthermore, so beyond that, I mean, the customer has some control too. So most online banking systems, including ours, has what are called account alerts. So you can set your account transactions to notify you if something out of the ordinary happens. If you want to get a text when, you know, a charge hits your account that's over, say, $1,000, you can do that. You can get an email report or a text report every day kind of summarizing, you know, your transactions for the previous day. So there's definitely controls and things that customers can do on their own accounts to monitor that on top of what the banks are doing.
There's even geographic alerts. So you can say anything outside of California or Humboldt County, if there's a transaction out of that area, I want to know about it because I'm not there.
Would that count towards like the internet providers? Me with baseball cards, my guy's out of San Diego if I can't get it local. Okay. Yeah. Been that way for 25 years. No big deal, but it's out of the area. Or is it, would that trigger it?
You can adjust it. You can set.
Oh, okay. So you can really tailor it to whatever you want.
Yeah. You can. But a lot of times if it's that's where kind of the bank will, or, you know, the processor will, at times if you're, you know, 90% of your transactions are done in Eureka, California, and suddenly you're in Florida, and now you may really be in Florida, but you still might get that alert from the processor saying, hey, we noticed this is unusual activity. Just want to make sure that it's you. So that
and
does
it was
happen.
A great lobster, too. KINS, News and Information Time, it's 842.
The Redwood Region Economic Development Commission wants you to know that local economic development agencies, business resource organizations, financial institutions, and jurisdictions are working together to provide resources for the COVID-19 pandemic. For more information, go to northcoastsbdc.org or call the OES Business Hotline at 268-2527. 268-2527.
Good morning, KINS, News and Information Time. It's 8:46. We're back talking shop this morning with Michael McCoy and Dave Tierney from Redwood Capital. Guys, what is the future of this stuff? I mean, are we going to get into the retinal recognition part, thumbprints on everything? How far out is this thing going to go before it kind of stabilizes, or do we even know yet?
I don't think we know.
Well, those things are already happening. I mean, facial recognition to unlock your iPhone, fingerprint authentication to unlock your iPhone if you have an older version like I do. Those things are happening already. I mean, some of the things that, you know, are interesting, you know, that are coming down the pike are Bitcoin. You know, what role is Bitcoin going to play in banking in the future? I think that's kind of evolving and still not really fully known. One of the things that kind of interests me is the conversational banking, right? So I don't know if you guys use Siri or Alexa. Hey, Alexa, play a song for me. You know, what about, hey, Alexa, what's my bank account balance at Redwood Capital Bank? Those kind of things are kind
no
of interesting.
No chance. Flat out, well, no chance. Because somebody walking by could do that, too.
Well,
you
know? Right.
I mean, okay,
right.
Yeah, you have the authentication. So
sure.
No chance.
Yeah.
I mean, that's no.
It'll happen, though. You watch. It'll happen.
It's but, not going to be too long. I think everything.
Yeah, you're
doing,
laughing, aren't you? Okay, now what level of
everything
of
we're
security
doing,
is associated with this one? Yeah,
everything we're doing now in the not distant future is going to seem archaic. I mean, we noticed like in 1999, Elon Musk started the first online bank, and it turned into PayPal. And you know, here it is, 21 years later, and online banks are normal, and digital banking is normal. And so in another 10 or 15 years, it's almost like who knows what. I mean, the FRB is working on a cyber version of the dollar to try to disrupt all the cyber currencies, Bitcoin. So things are shifting and changing.
At least if you're going to counterfeit a dollar bill, you're stupid. I mean, if you do a $50 bill or a $100 bill, at least you got some moxie with
right.
you. But, yeah, I mean, this kind of stuff, it's like, you know, it's more – it's out there. You know, I don't know if I'm way off base or not, but I really always feel very hesitant about anything with the cloud. You know, all we need is one good electronic pulse, and it's all gone. Those are the types of things that I kind of look at as the good stuff is being developed, you know that there's the bad guys over there really right. looking to do something.
Right.
And you want to disable a culture.
Yeah.
And now you're thrown back into the 20s.
Right.
How many
right.
of us even now have a hard back. Phone, you know, a wired phone so that if the cell phones all went sideways, we could even communicate to anybody.
Yeah, even having one wired just when the power goes out, because that's the only way the phone works, is to
right.
plug it back in the wall.
Yeah, and people, you know, how rare is that?
Yeah.
You know, so, I mean, you look at some of the vulnerabilities just, you know, not being intelligent about yeah. this stuff.
Right.
And get a little squeamish about it. You guys, you know, I don't know how many different redundancies you need, but probably 5 or 6 isn't as crazy as what it used to be.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I think that just goes right back to that, what we talked about earlier with that whole risk, that risk-based approach, not just for examinations, but, you know, as you're, you know, looking to implement new technology, just making sure that you're thinking about all those things. If there is a cloud, you know, if you have a cloud-based software platform that you're using, what are your redundancies? What if your internet connection goes down? So you have a backup internet connection. So yeah, there's all those checks and balances that you kind of go through when you're thinking about those things.
Yeah, you're managing your passwords. Even the best advice is to have a separate computer that you just do your banking on, so that all your web surfing doesn't accidentally pick up a virus or something that can start tracking what you're doing on your computer.
All right, guys, what percentage of your staff, put it all together, do that?
Probably zero. Not many people are going to do that, but that's like, yeah, that's the level that you can go to if you want to be super secure.
But, sure, and being prudent, I mean, yeah. that makes sense, but
most people, you know,
practicalities set in also,
yeah,
somewhere.
For sure.
And just, it's interesting, some of the things we have to think about. Even you know, buying a new computer at whatever business or for your house, you know, do you go through all these things and play the what if games? No, I mean, you're excited. You're ripping the bow off.
Right.
You know,
right.
You're thinking about all the nasties.
Which is interesting how much we've come to just trust the technology. I remember the first time I used a debit card at the gas station. I was like, wow, this is going to work? I can really buy gas with a piece of plastic? It was kind of strange, but now it's all just so comfortable. And
is
we don't think about this.
Is this where I confess I've never used an ATM and have no inclination?
No, don't confess.
I would rather go inside. I'd rather go inside the branch.
Well, that's, you know.
And see somebody. I mean,
yeah, yeah.
It's just. Yeah. And part of it, I think, is it's too easy to do the other way. The new way.
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Go online, spend a couple bucks. Who cares? You know, you do that 2-3 times a week, and all of a sudden, at the end of the month, you know, what's it? Shock and awe, I believe, is President Bush's phrase.
Yeah. That would be that.
If somebody has any interest in more of this information or just kind of finding out, are there websites you guys recommend that they go to do a little bit of discovery on this topic?
Well, I would first thing would say, you know, you can always go to redwoodcapitalbank.com. We have a fraud prevention page on there with a number of different tips, and we have our top 10 security prevention tools and things like that. So there's one resource for you.
Yeah, there's a lot of good information there, links to federal sites that are informative about risks. And
so you can spend as much time as you want doing this.
Yeah.
All right.
Absolutely.
Thanks for coming by, guys. Nice to see you again.
Thank you.
Thanks for
having us.
See everybody tomorrow.